And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And also going over to our friends, Free FM 89.0, coming out of Kirikiriroa, going throughout the Waikato, and it's a beautiful winter's day here in Whangarei today. I hope it is wherever you are, or have you taken the show? Whether that be live on one of those two stations, or streaming, or listening back to the archives, or off the raglanradio.com website. And today on the show, we're going to be talking to David White, who is the president of the New Zealand Tree Crops Association. That'll be around about half an hour or something like that. So I'll probably do some weather and gardening to do, stuff like that, in between now and then. But I'm going to start the show with this one here by The Stones, called Something New. There we are, folks. That was The Stones there with Something New. I'm going to come back and do some weather after this one, which is it's going to be a massive attacks on Teardrop, because Banksy's supposedly been active here in Whangarei. So Mike tells me. We'll be right back. There you are, folks. That was Massive Attack with their song Teardrop, which goes out to Banksy, who's been active in Whangarei, according to Mike. And it's weather time now here in on the Over the Fence show. And windy weather continues to ease around the country today and tomorrow with many showers clearing. Yes, lovely clear day today. And not very windy either, which is great because it has been particularly blowy for a couple of 3 days, probably the last few. and to the east and north there will be a few showers still. Some winds being from the north or east, the general airflow over the country is out of the sub-Antarctic region, the Southern Ocean, of course, and as winds ease, the colder air sinks at night. Frosty weather is likely to expand over the coming nights and mornings across Aotearoa. They may even go far north as sheltered inland parts of Auckland later this week. So, looking at the maps there, there's a lot of cold air blowing in, sort of around. There's a big sort of swirling sort of front kind of thing out off the east coast of Aotearoa, which covers pretty much from, say, Gisborne down to just below Christchurch, kind of, maybe Dunedin ways. And tomorrow that sort of looks like it's going to break up a bit, and the winds are going to be turning more kind of from the south to, what would you call that, westerly sort of, or southwesterly sort of thing. So there's some weather for you. What else can we expect? If we can find the mouse, here it is. We can rest of the week. Beautiful, sunny today, tomorrow, Friday, and a few showers maybe Saturday. Cloudy Sunday through to the rest of the week. Highs are going to be 14 degrees today, then 13, 12, 13, 14, 15, 14, 14 for the rest of the week. And the lows tonight. I did hear one host on the show saying it's getting down to 2 degrees tonight, but I don't think so, Aaron. I am reading the thing. 5 degrees is actually going to be maybe down to tonight, folks. 5 degrees tonight or tomorrow. So, yeah, you got to look at the right weather thing.
You're using the wrong forecast. Use that one.
No, that one doesn't work properly. This one. Yeah. The 5 degrees overnight tonight, tomorrow, 8 degrees night time, Friday, Saturday, 6, Sunday, 10, and then 7, 6 for the rest of the week. The winds are southerly today, southwesterly tomorrow, back to southerly Friday. Then southwesterly flow till Monday, then kind of east-southeast into Tuesday next week. 40% chance of rain Saturday. So, yeah, not much rain in the forecast coming up. 92% humidity today, even though it's 99, I think it is, in my house. And the sun rose this morning at 7:37 and will set at 5:13 this evening. The length of visible light is 10 hours and 34 minutes, and the length of day is 9 hours and 36 minutes, and tomorrow will be 38 seconds longer than it is today, folks, because, of course, the solstice has been and gone, and the beautiful moon. Yeah, I saw it this morning, a thin slither of it hanging in the sky, lovely, and that will rise at 4:47 this morning and set at 20 past 2. So it's just, it'll set in a couple of hours, something like that. And it is a waning crescent, 6% illuminated on the way to the new moon on Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, I think it is. So there's some weather for you. Right now I'm going to play you a song by the Builders called Alien. This one goes out to you, Aaron. Sounds real low. What's up there?
To get you, breathes in your face, feel like an alien, run out of space. Alien, the world seems very small. You thought it was big, a man in a trench coat. A cigarette out of his wig. Alien, in your hands you wish they'd crumble, and your presence spreads like a stain. Scratched on the sky, see the remains of your plane.
Here we are, folks. That's The Builders with Alien there. And I'm going to come back with some gardening to-dos after this one by the Manic Street Preachers called The Masses Against the Classes.
The country was founded on the principle that the primary role of government is to protect property from the majority. And so it remains. Folks, here we are. That was the Manics there with the Masses Against the Classes. And going to do some gardening to-dos now on the Over the Fence show. And if you're gardening by the moon, today being the 3rd of July, yes, July already, good time to set up the bird feeders to encourage birds into the garden. That goes right through till Friday, as that is the end of the last quarter moon and the first quarter moon starting Saturday. It's a good time to grow microgreens inside the house at this cold time of the year, and also plant your asparagus crowns, yes, already, so, and your garlic as well, probably still. What else can we do this July? You can plant, sow the seeds for beetroot, lettuce, mustard greens, parsnip, peas, radishes, shallots, snow peas, spring onions, and start your strawberries up. That's what you can do, some of the things you can do, and some other things. There might be a couple of double ups here, but also a few not ones. Apples, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, cyclamen, feijoas, forget-me-nots, garlic, gladiolas, lettuce, lily, mesclun, onions, parsley, parsnips, peas, peaches, pears, plums, radish, raspberries, rose, silver beet, spinach, and strawberries. So there's some gardening to-dos there. Now, I'll try and get a hold of our guest pretty shortly. But I'll come back after this one by Naked Spots Dance, called Governed By You. There we are, folks. That was Naked Spots Dance with Governed By You. Now I'm going to play for you Neck of the Woods by The Great Unwashed, and we'll come back hopefully with a guest after this one. Folks, that was The Great Unwashed there with Neck of the Woods, and now we're joined on the line by today's guest, David White. G'day, David.
Kia ora.
How you be?
I'm doing very well.
And how's the day up in Ohiniwai?
Lovely and sunny and gorgeous Waikato day, so it's always nice when you see the sun.
Right on. And you're here. We're going to be talking to you about the upcoming New Zealand Tree Crops Association tree and plant sale, which is happening at the Camellia Car Park at the Hamilton Gardens, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yes, this Saturday from 8:30 to 1 o'clock. So give us a rundown of what it's kind of all about, David.
It's about providing a space for locals to come in and buy some productive trees. Whether that be citrus or something rare and unusual, and that's the other lovely thing about it, is it gives people the ability to source those plants that can be really hard to source and get hold of.
All right, and I do know you've got some oddities in your place, haven't you, David?
Yeah, I have actually, but I keep myself busy.
Yes, no, I think it was a couple of years ago I had you on, and I think the prize of your property then was, like, I think they were tiny little coconuts about, I think you were trying to grow, is that right?
Yes, yeah. So we've got a mountain coconut. So I managed to source one, and it's about getting up to eye height at the top of its leaves. So it's not particularly tall and not particularly big. And yeah, it will take another 50 years to actually start producing, they say. But I'm always up for something and leaving something better off for my kids or grandkids or whoever buys my place after I'm gone.
So, oh, right on.
And the frost, it seems to be above the frost line, so okay, out of danger. It should grow.
Did you say 50 years before it grows out of something?
Yeah, yeah, that's what they say. It took a long time for the ones. There was a couple at Karao Island that produce seeds, which are golf ball-sized coconuts. So they do produce in New Zealand, and they taste like coconut, so they're just miniature.
Right on. Okay. What other weird and wonderful specimens you got in your place, David?
So we've got a lot of subtropicals. So subtropicals are something that you can grow in the Waikato. Mm-hmm. And so where we are, we get a number of frosts a year, but we seem to be able to produce the ice cream. We had a big crop this year of the ice cream fruit, which is Chirimoya or Casimiro. I can never remember the two. They're very similar.
Yeah.
In terms of sweet tasting tropical fruit. that you can grow. So as long as you give them some protection when they're young from the frosts, then they should be away.
All right. And are you higher, sort of up above the river level much there where you are?
No, we're right on the river plain. So, yeah, right on the sandy soils. And we have actually quite a high water table. It's only a couple of metres below the surface, which is nice. But, of course, we dry out very rapidly in summer top layer going with sand.
Okay. And what do you, I suppose you've got to water your plants then, I suppose, David?
Yeah, when we moved out there, we didn't have so we put down a well so we can do some watering. But we didn't actually, for the first few years we were there, as you move on to your lifestyle block and don't have a lot of spare cash.
Yeah.
And we found that most trees, if you planted them at this time of year, could get their roots down enough. And as the water table dropped and things dried out, their roots would kind of go a bit deeper. So they weren't particularly happy, but they would stay alive. So, yeah, that's why we have the plant sale now, because it's a good time to be planting.
Yeah, right on. Okay. And you are the Presidente of the NZTCA, New Zealand Tree Crop Association. Is that just the Waikato branch or nationwide?
That's nationwide. So I'm involved in the Waikato Committee. They're the ones organising the tree sale. Unfortunately, I actually won't be there this weekend. My daughter's getting married, so that kind of takes precedence.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm also the national president. And the next person who we've lined up, who's a fantastic person, Sharon Dean, she's actually also from Waikato as well, so she's from Te Reo. So she'll be stepping into the role come the AGM next year, which is fantastic.
All right. And so you're going to step down, obviously. And how long have you been the president?
I don't know how many years I've been on the president. I've been on the National Committee for 9 years, and I think about six of those being president. So like all organisations, volunteers are always harder to get these days compared to 20 years ago, but the tree crops does really well. So
Yeah. How many members have you got around about?
1,500 around the country. Waikato branch has got over 200. I think it's 220 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm paid up. So it's only $60 a year, and you can sign up online and you get a journal four times a year, and of course access to all the exciting events we have, which include field days, pruning workshops, crafting workshops, tree sale, obviously. So that's open to the public as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of things that are happening at the local level.
Yeah, right on. And so for this Saturday, 8:30 to 1, like you say, anyone could just turn up and peruse the goods on display there?
Indeed. My suggestion would be to turn up earlier rather than later, and also bring lots of cash. So previous years we've had someone there having cash out. I'm not sure if they're going to be there this year, but generally speaking they will be. But and also, be prepared to spend all the money you get, because whenever I take money there, it all seems to disappear on things, even though I say, I've got enough trees, I don't need any more. I'll find things that are just like, well, I must have this. So, come prepared.
Yeah. And how many folks do you get along to these things every year, roundabouts?
Well, I don't know. I'm terrible at estimating crowds, but I would say thousands would be the figures.
Yeah.
It can kind of come in waves, and it's a wee bit weather dependent. So if it's like a rainy day, then it seems to be more even. Whereas if it's sunny in the morning, people are up and excited. So then you have a big wave at the start, and you flat out for a few hours before it kind of tapers off.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I know it's super popular with the folks out here in Whanganui. That's for sure. There's a lot of people make the trip over the divvy to go check this one out.
Yeah, and it's really neat to meet people and to talk to them and find out what's happening, with local. Local people doing local stuff, because there's always something exciting that you learn about.
Yeah. And so this one's open to the public, but you're saying like your pruning workshops and things like that are for members only, eh?
Yes, well, preference is given to members. So the grafting workshop, which we do in the first week of September, is open to the public as well, but we tell our members a week or so before we go public, so they've got the chance to book in early. And the pruning workshops will be running again this year, because last year they were very successful.
Yeah.
We will publicise those once we've talked to our members as well, so extra spots can be filled up.
Right on. And how many people do you take at each of these at the workshops and things?
We limit the grafting workshop to 50, because you can imagine 50 people with knives, and one of the risks with grafting is cutting fingers. In the last 2 years, we've been really good, and no blood has been extracted from anyone, which we're very pleased about.
Right on.
So yes, we need to keep an eye on things and have people understanding the process. Because if you do it the right way, then it is very safe. Mm. It's just that, when you're learning something, you're not as good as an experienced person.
Yeah. Man, 50 people, that's a lot, though. how many tutors would you have to do the, that many people?
So I do the show and tell, which is the basic theory of how things work. And then we typically divide into groups. And it can be four groups or three groups, depending on how many of wise members are there who are prepared to kind of facilitate people's grafting process.
And you walk away with, a specimen or two to take home?
So you walk away with two apples. So apples are the easiest thing to graft in terms of your success rate is going to be the highest.
Okay.
So that's always the best thing to start with. And we have a range of rootstocks depending on what the supplier can get us, because obviously when you're ordering not many rootstocks, you're kind of, they do it for community good, not to make money, because the large commercial production units will take thousands or tens of thousands of rootstocks at a time. So whatever we kind of is left over is what we get, and we're grateful for that. So, but there'll be a range of different sizes and different types, species of rootstocks as well.
Okay. What would you say has been the trickiest thing you've grafted in your days, David?
Plums, actually, and no, prunes, I should say. Because until I found out that, so what we call plums in New Zealand are Japanese plums, and they were developed by a guy called Burbank 100 odd years ago in California.
Right.
But there's another class, which kind of like sister class, which are the prunes and the gauges and the damsons, all of those kind of European plums. And generally, as a rule of thumb, they won't go on to peach rootstock, but all of the Japanese plums go on to peach rootstock.
Right.
So when peach rootstock's easy to get. So I tried for a long time to do the grafting of prunes onto peach rootstock, and they never worked. So, yeah, I learned that one the hard way.
Okay, yeah. And you could graft, would you say, most things, would you say? You know, what's...
So you either do grafting, which is where you get a pencil-like stick of something in winter without any leaves on it and connect that to a rootstock.
Mm.
For evergreen species like citrus or avocado, it's quite complicated. But what you do is you do budding, which is where you get a bud off the parent tree, and then you stick that bud under the bark of the rootstock. So it's a different technique. And that's generally done, depending on the species, there's kind of this window of opportunity, but it's generally early summer to mid-summer, because the bark peels really easily off the rootstock tree when you're doing that transfer.
Okay,
then. And then you tape it up, let it heal, and then the next season you cut the top off and force that bud to go away.
Yeah, right on. You do workshops on that sort of thing as well?
We did try it once. The challenge with it is, so you're trying to do that in January when all the trees have leaves on them. So you've got to plant them or pot them up. And then that creates a kind of a complexity that's not particularly easy. And, of course, lots of people are away in January when it's a good time to be doing it. So we have tried, but it hasn't really taken off like the grafting in September is really easy to do. You can do it on a sunny afternoon. It's not complicated in terms of process.
Okay, then. And what other workshops do you guys do with the New Zealand Tree Crop Association?
So we do some pruning ones. So that's very weather-dependent. So you traditionally do pruning of things like apples and pears and of a lot of orchard things in winter because you can see the structure of the tree. And traditionally, if you're running an orchard, you kind of do less in winter than other seasons, right? You're not running around trying to harvest or do all the other stuff you need to do.
Mm.
And so if it's not raining, then we can run a workshop and teach people how to do pruning. And so we try and get a orchard that's a mature orchard that's been let go for a few years and not had any pruning done. And, of course, then the person's got to be happy to let a bunch of people who may or may not be pruning particularly well loose and then get people actually to experience and go through. Like, for example, when you start pruning, you first remove your dead and diseased wood. And so, therefore, you can get all the people who's coming along to actually handle the tree and go, well, which bits are alive and which bits are dead, because we learn better by doing as opposed to just gathering some theory up.
Yeah. And with nut trees and things like that, can you graft those or not?
Yes, you can. So walnuts are particularly hard to graft, which is why they're so expensive if you can source them, because they're only done by a couple of people in New Zealand.
Right.
And the reason for that is that when the sap rises in a walnut, it will actually rise so rapidly that it will push the grafted joint or the bud out and away from the rootstock.
Oh,
right. Thus come summer, it will die and fry because it's not well connected. So there's all these nuances that are for nut trees, different ways of doing things to make sure that you've got maximum chance of success.
All right. Yeah, and like what? What would you do for walnuts, for example?
So what you do there is you try and slow down the sap flow. So from memory, and don't quote me on this one, but I am live on radio, you create a chamber where the temperature is controlled, and I can't remember if it's cold or if it's warm.
Yeah.
So therefore it enables, I think it might be warm, and that means that the bud union heals faster. So generally speaking, the warmer the temperature, you know, the better plants heal.
Yeah.
So therefore you get a healing of that bond before the sap goes into desert mode. And
right.
Interestingly enough, you used to, in old wine books where, you know, making your own home wine, they actually recommend tapping walnut trees and turning the walnut sap, because you get a lot out, into homemade wine. I've never done it, but it's always struck me as fascinating.
Since,
you know, maple syrup tapping is something you can do in cold climates, but not here.
Yeah, all right. So you tap walnuts for a... Okay, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, and I suppose, would you say it was $60, right, to become a member of the Tree Crop Association?
Yep, and you can sign up at nzpca.org.nz.
Right on. Okay, and I suppose we'll let you get back to your, whatever you're doing, David, but is there anything else you want to add while you're on here?
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on here, and I really appreciate the good folks in Raglan. They're wonderful to talk to and connect with, and there's some wonderful people from Raglan who volunteer on our Waikato committee, and so we really appreciate the community that operates out of Raglan.
Yeah, all right. And when's the AGM that you're talking about?
The AGM for Waikato Tree Crops happens in March, and then the big national AGM happens in April, end of April, start of April.
So April's going to be when you're going to be stepping down?
Yep. I'll just go into the past president's role where I can just advise and not do stuff. That's great.
All right. Well, that's great, David. Well, I might even get you on before you do hang up your hat on that one, just for a bit of a wind up and a look back on your time and stuff like that, if you want to do that, David.
Always keen.
All right, back. Thanks very much for joining the show. Really appreciate it, David. And good luck to you. And I hope the tree sale goes well and your daughter's wedding.
Indeed.
All right.
Thanks, mate.
Have cheers, David. Yeah, cheers. Thanks, mate. See ya.
Bye.
There you are, folks. That was David White there, the Presidente of the New Zealand Tree Crops Association. He's a character. Always good for a chat. And now I'm going to play for you a song by Children's Hour called Caroline's Dream. folks. Here we are. That was Children's Hour there with Caroline's Dream. We'll come back to some public service announcements after this song here, which I'm going to play for you, which is Peter Jeffries and Shane Carter with Randolph's Going Home. Folks, there's problems there with that track. We'll do some public service announcements anyway now here on the Over the Fence show. And up at the community house as we speak, I think till about 2:30, something like that, Mike and the fabulous people up there are putting on a koha koi up there. So they've usually got soups or a pot or something or whatever up there, dessert and stuff like that, and usually some beautiful rawina bread and that, which started up a couple of weeks ago. So you can go up there, have a feed, and pay some koha for it if you can afford it. But it's a great initiative, and it's always a busy time up there doing that. And as always, the good people next door at the Whangarau Environment Centre do have the Aroha seeds down out the front in the entranceway to the town hall, some seasonal seeds you can plant. And the lovely Jasmine and Nick are in there at the moment doing their thing. And also the Matariki Art Exhibition by some local Māori artists is happening all through the week, and this weekend coming up at from 10 till 3 or something like that, I think it is, at the Old School Arts Centre. Let me just double check that. Yeah, 10 till 2, sorry. It's Koha entry, so an art exhibition by
some very talented local Māori artists. That's open, yeah, today, right through to the weekend, 10 till 2 at the Old School Arts Centre, so you can go along and do that sort of thing. And I've just got a bit of paper here too. Smart Waikato are doing an employer workshop, Get Ahead with Gen Z, this Friday, 10 to 1, right here in the Raglan Town Hall Supper Room. It includes 6 steps to successfully employing young people, effective inductions, inclusive workplaces, mentoring, conversations to remember, resolving Raglan challenges, and the 4 R's of retention. So there we are. There's a thing put on there by Smart Waikato and Raglan Naturally Involved with that one as well. So that's an interesting young thing. And the Whareng Au Youth Collective too, as well are involved with that one. So that's a good one. So that's on Friday, the 5th of July, this Friday, from 10 to 1 in the supper room in the town hall. And I think that's all I can think of at the moment. I'm trying to remember if John's men's circle is tonight or next week, but I think it might actually be. Yeah, I think it might actually be tonight. But don't quote me on that. But you can go check out or get a hold of John, visitors we had on the show the other week at the men's circle, which is at the old school. And yeah, if you want to stand among some good men and have a chat, it's a good, excellent place to do it. Rightio, folks, I think that'll do me for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'm going to go out with a song now by the Phoenix Foundations featuring Phaser Days called Beside Yourself. So have a great week out there, folks. I'll be back next week, I think. No, maybe not, actually. I might be down the capital, but anyway, back again. Have a great week, everybody. Look after yourselves and each other, and go get there. Yourself.